Welcome back to the Daily Thunder Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Woods. I am here joined by our good friend, Brandon Rabar. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good. Going to do a Thunder Draft Podcast and watch some 1883. I mean, that's a good Friday night.
It's a great Friday night. If you've seen 1883, you know. And we're also here with Spencer Davis, and I don't think he has seen 1883.
I have not. I've been rewatching Breaking Bad this week, trying to get back into that universe with the final season of Better Call Saul airing right now. So I've been enjoying that.
When the episode aired, I think it was the second episode. It's the episode with the plate of Breaking Bad when he makes the sandwich, the plate breaks, and then he goes and puts the pieces of the plate back together and realizes our friend, I can't remember.
Crazy Eight.
Yeah,
yep, Crazy Eight.
Crazy Eight had the piece of the plate. That was the moment I was like, this might be the best show I ever watched.
The first two, we don't want to spend too much time on this, but I feel like the first two seasons are not that strong compared to the end of the series. But that's, it's no slight. It's just how good the last few seasons were.
Is season four is the best season, right?
No, I mean I think the last season's the best one.
Interesting.
I think similarly with Saul. I think they get better each season.
Brandon, who's your favorite Breaking Bad character?
I mean, probably Jesse. I mean, I really, really came to like that, But if I'm not choosing Jesse, I might go with Gus, honestly. He's such a good villain. Like, your shows a lot of times are make and break by how good your villains are to your protagonist. And Gus was such a good villain to Walter White. So yeah, those two.
I'm going Mike.
Mike's great.
Give me Mike. Yep.
Tell me who it's not is Skyler. That is definitely not.
You know, I've actually been more sympathetic to Skyler on this rewatch, but Marie, Hank's God. Wife, is Marie. Just as bad as I remembered. Yeah.
Holy cow, Marie.
oh my gosh.
Big Badger fan. Love it. Every time there's a Badger scene, I love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Good call.
All right. So tonight, last week we did the lottery. 1 through 14, and this week we're going 15 through 30. We will move through these guys a little quicker than we did last week, but there are a few guys that we want to highlight. Again, these are rankings in through the lens of Oklahoma City. So we are as if we are ranking them for fit with this current Thunder team. I'm sure there are boards that have some of these guys in much different orders because they're just ranking them based on them as a prospect and not thinking about any team. So we're going to start with 15. I think, guys, we mentioned a couple of these guys, like these were the first few guys out of the lottery that just missed out. So we're going to basically pick up right where we left off. And we're going to go 15 through 20. We'll just read them. So, Spencer, give us your 15 through 20.
Usman Dien? How do you say that?
We were talking about that last week.
Usman Dien?
I say it, but that doesn't mean it's right, though.
I am enjoying your attempts.
I've never tried to – I had never even considered how this was pronounced before you just asked me to say it. Usman is at 15. Dyson Daniels at 16. Jalen Williams from Santa Clara at 17, Malachi Branham at 18, Patrick Baldwin Jr. at 19, and Jake LaRavia at 20.
The guy you mentioned from Santa Clara, I don't have in my top 30.
Well, okay, let's save this for the end because I texted you guys about earlier today that I had a spicy take, and that's who the take is about. So
that's what I was getting at. I thought that might be what that was.
We will circle back to him.
All right. Is there anybody else in those five that you want to highlight?
Not really. I mean, Laravia is probably also a bit of a reach. But like, you know, he's just an interesting forward that can shoot, pass, play a little bit of defense, unselfish player. Pat Baldwin is probably the big name. He was the number one player in the country for his class for like most of his youth time, and then had a horrific freshman season in Milwaukee, but he's 6'10 and can shoot. So I still have him in the top 20. And the other guys are just kind of interesting. You know, they're not, not a ton of upside, I don't think.
Wasn't Patrick Baldwin's dad the head coach?
He was at Milwaukee. Yeah.
He got fired.
Yeah, he got fired after the year because they were so bad. I think they were the worst team in the Horizon League, despite having a five-star prospect. Because it, basically it was because their point guards, or just their backcourt in general, was like, it may as well have been you and me. They just were not really running offense. And what we learned from that is that Pat Baldwin Jr. is not really a shot creator, but he can, I think he can still shoot, and he's huge. So
he was also in my 15 through 20. He was number 18. My 15 through 20 is Mark Williams at 15. A couple of these guys you probably had in the lottery. Mark Williams at 15, Johnny Davis at 16, Malachi Branham at 17, Patrick Baldwin Jr. at 18, Jaden Hardy at 19.
Whoa.
And one of my favorite, I won't say favorites, but I like this guy probably more than I should, Walker Kessler at 20.
Kessler was somebody that I had higher early on, like when I first started doing this draft's big boards, and I've kind of continuously dropped him down, even though he's kind of stayed the same. I just ended up liking other guys more. But you know, if the Thunder were to pick him at 30, I think that'd be a great pick. But obviously, I think it'd be terrible at 12.
The thing with Kessler is that he shot it in high school. Like, he was, you know, able to, I'm not saying he was like prolific or anything, but he was showing the ability to shoot. And that didn't translate at all either at North Carolina or at Auburn. And I think he probably is going to need to find that at some point. Really good shot blocker, right? Like, he's a good rim protector at the five, but his feet are pretty slow. Like, I believe in him significantly less than like Mark Williams.
One of my favorite parts of last week's show was reading you guys the shades of that Kevin O'Connor posted at the Ringer. So, to continue the trend, Walker Kessler's shades of Jared Allen and Jakob Poeltl.
I think that either of those would be a great result for him. I mean, obviously, that's
Poeltl especially is, you know, a great rim protector for that kind of goes under the radar. But
yeah,
I mean, if you have a Jakob Poeltl that can hit like a trailer or the like one or two corner threes a game, like that's a, you know, that's a late teens pick, I think.
For Patrick Baldwin, it was Harrison Barnes, Kevin Knox, and Jabari Parker.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, Harrison Barnes is probably aiming a little high, but that, I think ideally that's the idea.
He is really big. 6'9".
Yeah, huge. Yeah.
When he had so much pedigree coming in, like he was supposed to be a lottery pick. Pretty easy lottery pick, and he still has a lot of offensive upside. I mean, if this season was a disappointment for him, but I still think that teams will probably see that ceiling and upside and be kind of tempted to take him maybe a little bit sooner than people think he's going to go because of that.
Spencer, was he recruited like by other, like, could he have gone to bigger schools? He just went there because his dad coached there?
Correct. Like, he was a slam dunk five star. He could have gone anywhere. I think he was even expected to go to Duke for most, like, and that, you know, how we think about him would be totally different if he had just been like the sixth man for Duke, because he's probably not starting over Paolo or Mark Williams.
Could he have had Wendell Moore's season?
I mean, they're like, Wendell Moore's much more of a driver, right? I think, like, could he have had Brady Manick's season, but just like in an NBA body? I think that is maybe a more apt comparison, but like, yeah, I think that's the idealized version of what he will be, is just somebody that can be sort of a release valve from three, and then maybe eventually develop some shot creation stuff. But that, and like the other thing with him is he's not an elite athlete. And the reason why he was number one is because he kind of developed earlier than a lot of the guys in his class. And then they caught up to him, which happens. But yeah, he's still a very interesting player, I think. And I just think he got screwed with where he was last year.
Brandon, did you have Mark Williams in the lottery?
No, I did not. Okay. I had him. I think I had him the lowest of all of us, maybe.
Okay.
You had him at 18. I had him
at 19. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
My 15 through 20. My 15 is Johnny Davis. Probably lower than most people. 16 is Jeremy Sohan. 17 is Ty Washington. 18 is Jaden Hardy. 19 is Mark Williams, and 20 is Leonard Miller. He's like up with a bullet. Like he's, I know that seems high when, you know, he just was deemed like draft eligible and was a late entry, like as of yesterday. But because of that, I've gone all in on, you know, deep diving him, and there's a lot to like about him. Like his upside. Look, I'm going to be honest. It was a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to project who the Thunder might get with their own pick, you know, what, like around the top five. And it's a lot of fun that Clippers pick number 12 and all the guys. This section is a lot less fun. Like there's some intriguing players and there's some interesting players. But when I'm looking at these guys in this section, there's only a few guys that really excite me, and Leonard Miller maybe worse than everybody in this section, but he's one of the most exciting because of his potential and his upside and his tools and his physical bag that he's got.
Okay. Ryan, I don't know how you want to structure this. We need to talk about Leonard Miller, and we need to talk. I want to talk about Jalen Williams a little bit at the end, but you want to do Miller first?
Yeah, go for it. I saw those reports as well that he's going to be in this class. It was a late entry. I guess it was some paperwork that was holding him up.
I mean, he's the youngest guy in this class now. He's was basically playing high school ball in Canada last year, as far as I know. He did a few of like the main, like I think he was at Hoops Summit, like some events like that in the States, but for the most part has been playing Canadian high school basketball, as I understand it.
So Brandon, like for myself who hasn't watched any of this guy, sell him to me and those who haven't seen him.
So I mean, obviously one of the biggest selling points is, like Spencer said, he's gonna be the youngest player in this draft, but he's Canadian. So I mean, you know how Thunder leather Canadians between Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Lou Dort, you know, we're all kind of already falling in love with Shaedon Sharpe. Look, he's like 6'10, 6'11, he's still growing. And he can handle the ball. He can pass. He can shoot. Now, again, we haven't seen him against any college players. We haven't seen him in a pro setting, in any sort of international Euro ball or anything like that. A lot of players look great against high school competition. Most, I mean, everybody that's a big-time college prospect or an NBA prospect usually dominates the high school level. But when you're looking in this section, to me, this is a guy you take a swing on. Like if he's there at number 30, or if the Thunder decide to package, say 30 and 34, because they think they can get him at say 24, 23. To me, he's worth a swing to consolidate or take him that late, because just like we saw what the Thunder tried to do with Poku, and we're still, you know, that's still an experiment. And then what Chet Holmgren may be, when you can get a guy that's like 7 foot and handle, put him on the floor, and he shows some offensive upside. It's just like Usman Dang. They're basically, it's the same type of thing as Usman Dang. All these physical tools and potential and length combined with the age. I mean, it's pretty tantalizing.
All right. Can I come in with the rebuttal?
Yeah, I feel really weird with saying tantalizing. I don't know, this seems like a weird word to use when you're talking about NBA players. I'd like to strike that from the record.
So I also went on a bit of a Leonard Miller deep dive this week, and I went in ready to put this guy in my lottery. Like I'm pumped. All right. Like I remember, I think I even sent you guys a text a couple weeks ago about this, about him and like how he, you know, there was starting to be talk about him on draft Twitter. And I finally watched like some more videos and stuff. And then, you know, I listened to some analysis from like the senior Matt Penny, and I'm not nearly as excited. Mostly because like he really can't shoot, which is kind of part of the problem. Like he apparently has pretty good touch, but like it's, his shot is kind of a disaster mechanically. And you can see that pretty clearly on tape. I mean, it's different every time, even like on the highlight tape, you know, even if you just watch the highlights on YouTube, when they're going in, like the shot looks different every single time. He's almost a Canadian Poku, in that he like has a pretty similar frame, like can probably add more weight and muscle. Like he's not as skinny as Poku, but he also does not really have the burst that like in a similar way that Poku does not have any burst at all. And he also like, he's just never really played team basketball before in his life, as far as we know, like at any sort of high level for his age range. And I like the upside is there. But for like Oklahoma City specifically, do they really want to take on another 3 to 4 year project, you know, on the back end of whatever this Poku thing is going to be? Like if Oklahoma City got him at 25, I think it's a fine upside swing to take. But like he's going to spend all of next year in the G League. Like I'm not sure, like if you try to put him at a high major next year, he probably would not start at a lot of money.
You're supposed to have a rebuttal and you call them the Canadian Poku. You're just selling me even more on him.
Brandon mentioned that he hasn't played against college players. Spencer, you know who else didn't play against college players?
Josh Giddey?
LeBron James.
LeBron James.
That's right. That's right.
It's just like, go, I would just encourage you guys to go watch some of the highlight tapes where everything looks good, right? And then ask yourself how any of that is going to translate anytime soon. Like it just doesn't, it doesn't look real to me.
I do think that I've watched stuff too. And what stood out to me were his handles and his playmaking at that size.
Yeah.
I do think those seem legit. His shot is funky. I agree that his shot is funky. And of course, you know, you're watching highlights, so they all go in. But I do think he's got a little bit of burst for being, you know, 6'10", 6'11". And I don't know. I just think that late, you know, would I rather have a guy like that, like a swing like that, or would I rather take a guy that's like, oh, he's a good defender and he'll never shoot, and I don't know if his defense is absolutely quite good enough, yeah, to, you know, be like, you know, all defensive team level. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're just taking swings at that point. So,
yeah.
Once you get to 20 and above, if you want to take all the Poku swings you want, I'm cool with that, with all the picks that the Thunder have. All you need is one of those to pan out. If you take one Poku swing a year, and after 6 years, one of them pans out, that's a huge win, because what that potentially could mean.
Yeah, and I mean, I've got him at 25, so I'm not, like, too far off.
Oh, okay.
But like, I don't know. I was hoping to be, I guess I'm sounding a little bit down, because I was really hoping to be all in on this guy, and I'm just not, which is a bit of a bummer. But like, yeah, if they want to trade 34 and 30 to take him at like 26, then like go off. That's fine.
Right. Right.
Brandon, you said you had Mark Williams in this range here.
Yeah. Yeah. I had him number 19, just one spot above Leonard Miller, but I might have just talked myself into Miller over him.
I love the shades up for Mark Williams. Consistent Hassan Whiteside.
Oh, wow. Well, actually, if it was a consistent Hassan Whiteside, I mean, that's not bad. I mean, that
the
was
other one
of
was Robert.
Issues.
The other was one was Robert Williams.
Isn't consistent Hassan Whiteside like Joel Embiid?
I guess it depends on what he's consistently doing. Is he just consistent?
Yeah.
See, when I think of Hassan Whiteside, I just think of defense. So I think of him actually trying on defense consistently, and that's pretty solid. I don't even think about his offense at all.
Spencer, you want to go 21?
What? Wait, Can we hit Jalen Williams real quick?
Yes.
Okay. Jalen Williams, guard out of Santa Clara. Okay. This kid's awesome. Right after we're done recording, I want you guys to go watch some tape on this guy. He's like 6'6". He looks huge. Part of the reason because he's playing in whatever conference. He's playing in a mid-major, right? Santa Clara. But he can do some things with the ball. He can shoot. He can pass. He can shoot from a variety of different areas. He almost looks like a little bit of a shorter version of Robert Covington, just in the way that he moves, like not as stiff as Robert Covington, especially, you know, veteran years. But he's apparently going to have, like, we'll see how he measures at the combine, but there was a note in Sam Bassini's mock draft where he thinks he's going to have a 7-foot wingspan. And I mean, this is a guy that shot 40% from 3-point range last year or close to it. And has had really good free throw numbers for his whole career. He is a little bit older. He just finished his junior year, so that's a bit of a knock. But I don't know, man. Like, this draft is not that good once you get out of the lottery. And so if you're telling me you can have, like, a guy that may shoot, you know, 38, 39, 40% from three, 7-foot wingspan, potential to be a plus defender at some point, like, I'm all over that.
Yeah, I actually had Jalen Williams at number 26. So I don't think that's crazy. For all the reasons you said, like, in all the mocks, he's so low, and I don't really – he's always, like, mid-second round from, like, around 45 or so. And when I was going through – like, you know, when I was going through the second round guys, I haven't done, like, a huge deep dive on him. All the projected kind of first round up to, say, like, 32, 33, 34 were the Thunder picking again I've looked at. So I just started looking at the stats, and his stats jumped out at me. So I watched some tape on him, and I just didn't really understand why he was mocked so low. Because like you said, I mean, he shoots 40% from three on like over three attempts per game. Like you said, very good free throw shooter, over four rebounds and four assists a game and 18 points a game. I mean, really the small school is the only thing I can see holding him back. And I guess he's not a very good defender. But when you're looking at the guys in this range, when you have offensive players that are that good offensively. I mean, you know, and like you said, he's kind of thick. That doesn't mean he's going to be a good defender, but he at least has the body.
He has the tools. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, he looks huge. All right. Like he looks massive on the court with these guys, even as like ostensibly a guard. But yeah, he's got all the tools. Again, we'll see how he measures at the combine, but if it's a 7-foot wingspan, like, man, sign me up, because like he would have all the tools to start at the three for Oklahoma City, basically as soon as he adapts to the speed of the game. Like that would be the only concern for me for not starting him from day one.
I do. It's just like going just from what,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just from what I read, his defense is pretty bad. But again, I don't know.
That's the goal.
You're looking at right, well, right, exactly. And when you look at, you know, his team and who knows his role and things like that, but yeah, his defensive rating was pretty bad. But man, those offensive numbers are pretty tantalizing.
I mean, Trey Mann was also tantalizing. It's the word of the pod. I mean, like they took Trey Mann last year, so who was, I don't know, one of the worst defenders in the SEC the year before as far as a guard. So, you know, I don't think that in – like, he was also a bad defender as a rookie in the NBA, but he was at least trying. So,
you know who else was a bad defender? It was Jalen Green, like, supposedly one of the worst defensive ratings in the league from according to Twitter. I haven't backed it up with the research too much. I have a little bit, but I'm just saying, like, usually when you're looking at guys who can really, really score the ball and do it efficiently, when you're looking at all these analysts and things like that, you know, bad defense doesn't usually drop him this much. Like the only thing I can see is bad defense. And like you said, it being a mid-major, I guess.
Spencer, keep us going at 21.
21. I have a bit of a reach here. Tre'Kavion Smith from NC State. 22. I have Nikola Jovic. 23. I have Walker Kessler. 24. I have Ty Washington. And 25. I have Leonard Miller.
We have a couple of overlaps in this range as well. Brandon, what about you, 21 through 25?
21, Patrick Baldwin Jr., 22, EJ Little, 23, finally, Walker Kessler. every time I want to say Walker Texas Ranger every single time I say his name. Walker Texas Kessler, 24 Nikola Jovic, and 25 Kennedy Chandler.
I also had 24 and 25 Nikola Jovic and Kennedy Chandler. So to continue last week's theme of identical boards, I had 22 EJ Liddell, 21 Ty Washington. 23, I had Wendell Moore Jr.
So three of those five, we had the exact same ranking. Nice. Mm-hmm.
Spencer,
I love your board, Ryan. You're nailing it.
Spencer, what do you think of Wendell Moore Jr.? Is this too high?
Yeah, probably. I mean, like, he was kind of a role player for Duke, even as like a junior. Mm-hmm. And was just a little bit inconsistent for that role, I think. Like, he was – at times, he was their best player. But, like, he's not really a good enough ball handler or a distributor to, like, play guard spot. And I don't know that he's a good enough defender to, like, stick him out on the wing or, he's a pretty good shooter. But I don't know, man. Like, he, to me, is just, like – he's just a guy. Like, mm-hmm. Like he's a Jag, basically. No disrespect. But, like, I don't have him in my top 30. He's a really good college player, though.
For me, Wendell Moore was really, really – when I got down to my, like, 28, 29, 30, let's be honest, it's a crapshoot. Sure. So I just – he was one of my – he was actually my final cut, so I guess he would be my 31 technically. And, again, this is guesswork at that point. There's just a few things I liked about the other guys a little bit more, their overall game. But Wendell Moore saw it all the way around, but it's – I mean, he was the fourth or fifth best player on a team that didn't win the title. I don't want him on my team. I'm just kidding. He's fine. He'd be a completely fine pick with 30 or 34. He can play offense. He shot over 40% from three on the season, over 13 points per game, 5 rebounds, 4.4 assists, over 80% from the free throw line. He's a good scorer. So again, not the best defender. Who knows how much of it was, role on a really great team and, kind of having, open shots, more one-on-ones, things like that. But he's a solid player.
Well, we know it wasn't just that because he was on a terrible Duke team the year before.
That's a good call.
I mean, he's 6'5". Like you said, he's a good shooter. I think, he's probably better than Aaron Wiggins. Like, he certainly has a higher reputation as a college player than Aaron Wiggins did. But maybe he doesn't have, the size. So maybe that's where it doesn't translate to the NBA as much.
Speaking of size, somebody like Ty Washington is – I would guess he's going to go higher than, this range.
Sure.
But, that's a good example of, we're probably much lower. Like, we don't see a need for, a small guard on this team.
No, no more 6'3" point guards.
not really sure where the minutes are for a guard of that size.
Right. I mean, I guess, if Tao's gone, then maybe you need – a backup point guard. And doesn't he have a +6 wingspan? Something crazy?
Possibly.
Brandon, I remember you being super high on him early in the year.
On Ty?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a crazy, crazy wingspan. Ty's a solid player, honestly. I have him at 17, but that's more really, like you said, because he doesn't fit a Thunder need. The first half of the season before he got injured, he was really good across the board offensively and defensively. He's kind of he's pretty solid defensively and he's got the tools. He's small, as far as he's not real thick and he's not real tall, but 6'3" point guard is fine. If you got some length and he does and he can score the ball, he's probably going to be a really solid pick. If he falls to late lottery or just past that, honestly, the value for that is really, really solid for Ty.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't hate it.
You wouldn't hate it at
12? There's a lot of these. No, I would hate it at 12.
Okay.
yeah.
No, I think there's better players, just period, than him at 12. But let's say I don't know. Let's say they somehow just magically acquire pick 17 and they went with him and they're like, all right, we're going to use the 17th pick on a guy we think will be our backup point guard for the next 7 years. Like, I think that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, Ty Washington and Trey Mann as a backup backcourt would actually be a lot of fun. I mean, that's a lot of scoring, a lot of playmaking, a lot of ball handling. I mean, that's a pretty lethal 1-2 punch potentially off the bench.
He feels like a Hawk, and that's where Kevin O'Connor had him going at 16.
Yeah, I could see that. He would be mocked in the lottery across the board probably if he didn't have the injury halfway through the season. If you just based his stock on the season before he got hurt, I think he's a lottery pick.
Let's go 26 through 30. I'll start. Blake Wesley at 26. 27, a guy. I don't know why I like this guy as much as I do. Christian Brown. Can we go?
Brown.
They were saying Brown on telecast, and I was like, why?
It's Brown. Yeah, it's Brown.
Another interesting name. Marjon Beauchamp.
Yep.
Kendall Brown and Bryce McGowan's.
I have some overlap here. I have Bryce McGowan's, Blake Wesley, Jaden Hardy, Christian Coloclo. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of went back and forth on either like Kennedy Chandler or Kendall Brown at 30. I don't really want either of them on the team though. You know, but I think those are probably the next two.
At 26, I got Spencer's guy, Jalen Williams. I do like him. 27, Christian Coloco. 28, Ishmael Comegate. 29, Kendall Brown. And 30, Christian Brown.
Who is Ishmael? I'm not familiar with him.
Mostly I picked him because he's got a great name. Ishmael Comegate. I mean, come on. That's an epic name. No, he's from France, which, you know, Thunder players love their French. The Thunder love their French players, including Théo Maledon, Olivier Sarr, Jalen Horde, those guys. No, he's a center, though. He's 6'11". He scores pretty efficiently. Like, I looked at this all the last couple of days. He's like 64% from the field, which most centers score pretty well from the field. It was something like 66% from the free throw line, scored like 12 points. He's got upside, basically. He's 21 years old. He's just, at that point, I'm looking at the Thunder don't really have a center, and you're just kind of taking guys. You're just kind of rolling the dice, throwing the darts. If you're picking a 30 and 34 for a center, maybe even a backup center, like a true center, and he's a true center. So it's basically a dice roll for some upside.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm looking at his stats now. Everything you said is correct. He also has a block and a half a game and about 0.7 steals a game. So, and, you know, 6 rebounds in 27 minutes. So pretty good numbers.
Yeah, I looked him up because he was kind of a popular name that I saw when I was looking at, like, you know, like draft boards and like draft Twitter and things like that. I kept seeing his name coming up, and, you know, I've seen him on Tankathon, and I love the name. I knew he was French, so I kind of did a small dive on him. You know, when we're picking at the end of the first round, early second round, nothing too exciting, but there's potential there. And that was more of a, hey, who are some centers that could maybe be something?
I want to ask about the, assuming Oklahoma City's at 12 and Jalen Duren goes before that, is that too early for Mark Williams?
I don't think so.
Oh. I think so. Go ahead, Spencer.
We talked about this a little bit last week. I don't see a huge difference between those two. Like, you can get more aggressive in your schemes with Duren, and Duren is 2 years younger, which gives you a little bit more upside. But, like, I don't like, I would rather have Mark Williams than like Tari Eason probably. And I, my rankings reflected that last week. I don't know. Like we talked about last week, there's a clear top nine, maybe even the top 10. And then it's like, it's kind of a crapshoot. Like you could, like by draft day, I may have Jalen Williams at number 10. I don't know. Like 12 to me is not too early for anybody from 10 to like 19, 18.
Brandon, like, are you just in favor of taking just a, like, are you less in favor of taking the center or just he's not the guy?
I just don't, you know, he's fine. If the Thunder took him at 12, I would be disappointed only because I think that you can find guys like him. And I think he's going to be a good player. The reason I'm higher on Durin is, yes, he's a couple years younger, but also I just think he's bouncier, twitchier and things like that. Like as far as like going on out to the perimeter and defending and things like switchability. And then the upside, just because the unknown of the couple years development and, you know, the possibility of maybe adding a shot, but there's, he's like Jalen Duren is so bouncing. He's so physical already for being so young. Mark Williams, I think that you could take him. You can make him your center and it would be okay. But at 12, you know, you're passing on possibly guys like Dyson Daniels or Tari Eason or Usman Dang or Malachi Branham or Agbaji, who I think can be like really nice players. I just feel like the upside and potential and things like that, or even if I'm not high on him because, you know, he can't shoot, but like a Jeremy Sohan, because his defense can be elite. I just think like Mark Williams, like an old school throwback center, you know, I would love him at 30. He won't fall to 30, but at 12, I just think that you're passing up on some upside swings that I would much rather take.
I don't totally disagree. I mean, positionally, is it ideal to take a center, like a center that's not going to shoot in the lottery? No. But I think, like, he's probably worth it value-wise. And, yeah, like, I just – like, you mentioned Dyson Daniels, who's interesting. But he's, you know, not really – like, he's just a great defender, right? Like, that's kind of what his thing is, which is great. But like, you know, I think we're looking for, I don't know, at those guard and wing spots, like I want some offensive pop. And then if I have to lean on heavy defense at center, like that's the structure that I would prefer.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, for me, Dyson Daniels, like really the only thing holding back is his 3-point shot because his playmaking is so nice, especially if he's your third playmaker on this team, you know, and again, he's really young. And he's such a good, versatile defender. I mean, it is all about the defense, but to me, he's like a Scotty Barnes light, where he's this big dude, versatile, great defender that can play make. And you're like, hey, there's something there maybe with the offense too. So I'm pretty high on Dyson Daniels. Obviously, him and Tari Eason, I just much rather than Mark Williams. Now, value-wise, I don't think anybody would, you know, say that the Thunder blew it value-wise if they picked him at number 12. And everybody would say that he, you know, was a position of need and he fits and things like that. And I agree with, I just rather, you know, take the upside that maybe one of these guys like Daniels or Tari Eason could be, you know, kind of a role-playing type star.
I've started to see some mock drafts that have Dyson Daniels in the top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of them. Yeah. I mean, you guys had them both at 11 last week, according to what I have written down here. And I like, if they want to take him at 12, because, you know, Presti really believes in his defense, and like, which he is, you know, a lot of people say he's the best perimeter defensive player in this class. Like, that's a pretty good value. Also, he's Australian, right? I have that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it'd be kind of a cool synergy there to have with Giddey. But like he does have a lot of skill overlap with Giddey. Like he's not as good of a passer and he's a way better defender. But just in terms of the way that he scores, I think like they both have shooting concerns, things like that. And he, he is a good passer. He's just not like Giddy's level of passer.
Well, one other thing that I kind of talked about last week, you know, we talked about Giddy, you know, what is he going to be? Who's going to guard defensively? And we talked about him possibly being a four defensively, you know, obviously maybe a three. So at some point, the Thunder are going to need a three or a four who can be a great defender to kind of, you know, help out Giddy. You know, I think Giddy will be a really good team defender. He's smart, things like that. He'll never be out of place. But if you can get an athletic guy who can be like a lockdown defender at the three or four position. So that's another thing that I really like about Dyson Daniels. You can kind of, or Sohan, even though I'm not high on Sohan, you know, he could take that three or four spot and take the better offensive player, you know, and let Giddy take the worst offensive player out of those three and fours to kind of cover for Giddy. That's what I like about Tari Eason as well.
This is where I really wish Shaedon Sharpe would have played games. So I would love to be able to talk. I would love to be able to talk about him being like that dude, like the big wing that can defend the guys that Giddy cannot. And we don't know.
My dream scenario for Sharpe, if it were to be with the Thunder, would be that he becomes the starting two, and Dort stays but goes to the bench, and Dort and Trey Mann are like this incredible backup young bench duo, like in the backcourt, you know, this great defensive stopper and this great offensive player on your bench. And then, you know, Sharpe and his upside next to SGA and Giddy in the starting unit. And then, you know, you're huge across the board at your one, two, and three with Shea, Sharpe, and Giddy. Pretty tantalizing.
It's pretty fun. Pretty fun to think about.
All right, you guys have anything else on 15 through 30?
Let me I want to hit on one thing really quick.
Yeah.
Just like a big picture thing. Turquavion Smith, I think I was the only one who ranked him, right?
Yes.
You guys have him on there? Okay. He is a pretty interesting guard prospect, kind of a shot creator. Played at NC State, a really, really bad NC State team. Their best player, at least going into the year, a guy named Manny Bates, got hurt like 5 minutes into the first game of the season. I think they had some other injuries. They were terrible. But if you go watch this guy, he's one of the more like fun, chaotic guards, or, you know, just one of the players, period, in this class. Super athletic and has like a little bit of a dribble pull-up game. And it actually made me realize there's like, I've got five guys circled here in either the late teens or into the 20s that are kind of like this guard / forward type that can get a shot off. We've got Malachi Branham, Smith, Bryce McGowan's, Blake Wesley, and then Jaden Hardy. And maybe Hardy's a little bit smaller for this archetype that I'm thinking about, but it's interesting that there's so many of that type of player that we think are going to be available outside of the lottery.
Can we add EJ Liddell to that list as well?
I mean, he's bigger though, right? Isn't he more of like a four?
He's 6'7", 240.
Yeah, so the 240 part is where I'm like,
yeah,
I didn't watch him as much last year, and I know he got better, but I watched him a lot the year before because I was covering the Big Ten more. He was like a lot of back to the basket stuff. I mean, he took almost three threes a game, and then he took even more last year, and I think his numbers look better across the board. Yeah, I don't have him ranked. I don't know how he translates.
Yeah, almost 60% true shooting on 19.5 a game, 37.5% from three. He also blocked 2.6 a game. He had 2.6 blocks a game.
A great college player, obviously. I think he's probably first team all Big Ten, and was also Big Ten all defense, it looks like. So I don't know, man. Like that's the kind of type of guy that I don't know how he fits just with where his frame is at.
Mm-hmm. I remember watching him. I remember watching him guard the big from Illinois, Kofi.
Kofi.
Yeah. And like held his own.
He's strong, man, but he's all like, you know, in the NBA, like you can be as strong as you want. If you're 6'7", like, are you going to be able to guard centers? Like, probably not. And you're probably at 240, you're probably not quick enough to stay in front of forwards. Like, Darius Bazley would probably roast this guy off the dribble. Like, would be my guess.
Couple he is matches, interesting, right? Though. Like, I had him at 22, Ryan. Where did you have him again?
Well, you know, I had him at 22.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. He's somebody that I like more. I didn't think I was going to like him, like, for whatever reason. But as I kind of got into this and was looking more into the 20s, I ended up ranking him higher than I thought I would rank him because he was a positive 3-point shooter. He was a positive blocker. I can't remember exactly, but he had 2.6. Around 2.5 steals per game. He had quite a few rebounds. Like, his numbers were solid across the board on, you know, an Ohio State team. Like his physical tools and his numbers kind of back up that he's a guy that should be a solid role player. So yeah, I kind of like him. You know, if the Thunder could get him at 30, I think that's a big win.
Speaking of that Ohio State team, I just want to remind everyone that ORU, my ORU Golden Eagles, knocked off that Ohio State team. Nice. No big deal.
Nice. Would you rather have EJ Liddell or Max Asemus?
Hey, also, Max Asemus gave buckets to Trey Mann as well in that same tournament.
That's right.
Wow. A lot of people gave buckets to Trey Mann, though.
Very true. Very true. All right. We will end it there with Spencer shading another Thunder player. That is a big thing around here. we're going to do this again probably one more time before the lottery. We will definitely have a lottery reaction podcast going up sometime after the lottery. We probably won't go live again because there's apparently some bad juju with going live.
Oh.
During
it was a disaster, if you guys remember last year
during the lottery. So we will hold off and we will report back when it's done. But yeah, we will be back either one more time before the lottery night, or you will hear us next after the lottery results have been read. So
10 more days.
Yeah, we're very close. So everybody, cross those fingers and toes, do whatever you got to do. Whatever you did last year, we're going to do the opposite. Because we are looking for something. Guys, thanks so much for joining.
Absolutely. This was fun.
Had a blast.
Thunder fans, thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you very soon. This is the Daily Thunder Podcast. Hey, Hoopheads. We appreciate you listening to this episode of Daily Thunder. Be sure to check out other NBA pods on the Hoopheads Podcast Network, including Cavalier Central, Nuck If You Buck, 305 Culture, Spanning the Spurs, Hashtag Lakers, Motor City Hoops, X's and O's NBA Breakdown, LA Hoops, The Wizards Hoops Analyst, At the Buzzer, and Lakers Fast Break. There are also coaching-focused podcasts, Thrive with Trevor Huffman, Beyond the Ball, the CoachesMaze.com podcast, Players Court, Bleachers and Boards, The Green Light, and Courtside Culture. Oh, and don't forget the network's flagship, the Hoopheads Podcast, hosted by Mike Klinzing and Jason Sunkel, and featuring the best minds in the game, from its grassroots to the NBA.